WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
Are you kidding me?
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Are you serious?
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
No. Come on, you didn't expect me to stay a whole night, did you?
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
Are you a loveless man or what? I mean, tell me the story.
The Omega.
You think I'm losing my hair?
Heartbreak Mike.
Can I borrow some of your clothes until I buy some?
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Can I get you a beer, glass of wine?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Everybody's got to dump on somebody, right? Of course.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTI Sunday night.
It's me. It's that D-O-double-G mobbing once again with Wild Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll.
This is third generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
I'm Austin Aries.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I have Google Earth. I know where you live.
WTR Sunday night.
And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you.
Enough of that shit already. I'm bored. I'm bored with it, all right?
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I am the Omega, the be-all and all of our network, and Tim and Mike will be joining me shortly. But first, joining me right now, we have with us the one and only Matt Cross, otherwise known as Son of Havoc from Lucha Underground. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. How are you?
We're doing fine here. Thank you again for sitting down with us today.
No problem. Just
for our listeners who may not know who Matt Cross is, can you tell us a little bit about how you got started in the industry?
I guess the brief story would be my buddies were very into wrestling that I had met through just punk rock and straight edge. I had a 11-year gymnastics background. Watching wrestling with them, I sort of had this like half chip on my shoulder of like, I could do this, which took us to emulating our ECW favorites in the backyard. They put us on the Best of Backyard Wrestling videotapes and video game back in the day, and then I decided that I wanted to pursue professional wrestling seriously and you know, look at it more as a job and then career. So received formal training in Cleveland, Ohio, under a guy named JT Lightning at the Cleveland All Pro Wrestling Training School, and then hit the indie scene in about 2001, and fast forward, you know, 16 years, and here I am.
It's a long journey. I hope the gentler parts of ECW were being replicated, because I remember practicing power bombs with my friends, and I wouldn't do it on a steel chair or anything.
I don't think we would have been on the cover of the video game if we weren't the ones jumping off the roofs and wrapping ourselves in barbed wire. So
this is a valid point, right? All right, so I think most of us might have noticed you on Monday Night Raw with the Tough Enough cast. I will admit, I went back to watch the clip. I didn't recognize you.
Like, yeah, sure.
You made a huge change.
Beardless.
Oh, yeah. So from that moment and to a moment recently, your match with Cody Rhodes at NGW, they described as one of your favorites in your career.
Yeah.
Can you tell me how it deserved that accolade?
I mean, Cody Rhodes is an amazing talent, an amazing human. This is our second time tying up, and I just, our like man chemistry is off the charts. It's for the day I met him was the last time we wrestled, and just everything clicked. It was a really nice match. Next Generation Wrestling in Tennessee has got a good thing going. I mean, people really came out. This last match in particular, there was a young man that drove from Long Island, New York. So, I mean, that's got to be 10 to 12 hours at least.
Wow.
Just to make it happen. And his parents helped him under the guise that he'll never again get a Christmas present. So I thought that was pretty memorable. But I mean, people were traveling from other states, and you know, they really kind of created this special atmosphere for it as well. Both matches kind of were different. I loved both of them. Just really cool environment and everything we can hope for as wrestlers and fans. You know, that's the beauty of what we do. You can play a basketball game with no crowd and the results would still go in the record books, but I'm not really sure you can wrestle with no one there and for it to really genuinely be pro wrestling. I guess it's like the whole if a tree falls in the woods thing, right? I mean, if no one's there to see a match, was it technically pro wrestling? So I just love that. The beauty of how this unfolds real time in front of us and all the little intricacies and ad-lib things and I don't know, it all just unfolds before us, which is, again, part of the beauty. So I just love working with Cody Rhodes. I mean, he's just really, really amazing and approachable and just the definition of professional. And, it's great to get in there and test my skills against, you know, obviously one of the best. Dusty Rhodes was like my favorite wrestler growing up, and we named our dog after him when I was a kid. And it's just insane to think that, you know, you fast forward these years and it's like, man, I get to, you know, again, like test my skills against this guy and to do it in front of such a warm and welcoming crowd. It's just, I don't know what it's all about.
Right. Great. Now, in researching for this, I started looking through your resume and I see Wrestling Society X. I see Chikara. I see Old Wrestling, where you have been world champion for, if my high school math is correct, 1,334 days now?
Something like that, yeah.
Now, is it just me? I get the feeling you kind of like the promotions that tend to do their own thing and be unique.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know. I've always wanted to just, I guess, to draw a parallel with my actual life. I mean, like, I'm a punk through and through, so I fell in love with punk rock music in, like, 1995 and never looked back. And so I guess I've never really drawn that parallel myself, but I think I am drawn to alternatives and rebellion and things like that. So I've never really been one for the status quo, and I guess that, it carries over into my career and in wrestling choices and things like that. I mean, I don't know. There's always something more to reach for, and there's always a different way, and I like when that's explored in all its different mediums.
Yeah, I find that a lot. Me and my friend used to watch Kaiju Big Battle, which was pro wrestling with Japanese monster suits.
Yes, I've done it.
Really?
I don't know if you're ever supposed to reveal that, but I heard that I did it.
You heard? Okay. All right. We'll leave it at that then. But moving on to that, Son of Havoc with Lucha Underground coming back on May 31st. I'm super excited for this. Like I am straight edge too, but this is my drug right now.
Sure.
Watching this show. I'm the same as a lot of people on my social media. When it hit Netflix, like, everyone started talking about it. I just kept hearing about 1,000-year-old people and nunchuck matches and just craziness. From your perspective, how has the move to Netflix kind of raised the profile or brought attention to Lucha Underground?
Well, like you said, there's obviously been a jump. I know that was the plan for very long, and they pursued it for, you know, years, and for it to finally come through was great. And obviously it's just so much more accessible. I mean, the show is awesome. It's just a matter of getting eyes on it, and now with the Netflix, that many more people have access to it. So of course there's been a jump in just interest and feedback and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's an exciting time for the show in general.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell me about Lucha itself, because it is such a different wrestling product than I'm used to. I realize I don't even know how it compares to, say, you know, your indie promotions or WWE. From someone who's been a little bit of everywhere, how does it compare to what we would think of as like a pro wrestling promotion?
I mean, wrestling promotions, by and large, share more similarities than not. But I think what differentiates Lucha in particular, is just this sense of community. And I've heard about stuff like that in other places or at other times, but a lot of times it's lip service. And I mean, this was, especially when it started, I mean, a group of kind of the rebels and the misfits and the guys that have been overlooked and the guys with maybe chip on their shoulders and all this kind of stuff coming together and being aware of the chance that they're given. I mean, these are the changes that we all wanted to see as fans of this business for so long, and then to be directly related with that change and responsible for that change was this, like, I don't want to call it a responsibility, but like, in a way, but like an amazing, an opportunity. So we were just like, holy crap, like we've been sold false alternatives forever. I mean, every couple of years something comes around and it's just, it's the new fresh thing is what it's presented as, but then it ends up just being Diet WWE or WWE Lite. This is the first thing you can watch 4 minutes of it and be like, wait a minute, what am I, this is genuinely different.
Yeah.
And again, within minutes. So that's really exciting to be a part of. I mean, I've been offered many wrestling contracts in the past and just didn't sign anything. I don't know, I'm a pirate. You know, I want to be out there. I want to be doing it. I don't want to be tied down by anything. And this was the first thing that I signed, and because I believed in it, I was like, I can, again, directly be responsible for the change that I wanted to see. I won't be just another cog in the system. I'll be moving forward with something, you know, genuinely new. So everyone, that feeling is pervasive in the locker room, and it's very cohesive and a nice atmosphere to be in. I mean, I come back from a match, and you got Johnny Mundo, like, just, like, congratulating you there by the door, and I'm doing the same for him. And we all feel this, like, you know, this rush of change that we're creating, and with the momentum at our backs, it's just really exciting. So it's not just another show. You know, a lot of times wrestling can become, we all do this, you know, likely every weekend, you know, 52 weekends a year for God knows how many years and thousands of matches and stuff, but these are always a highlight on our calendar, and you know, I feel like we're creating some sort of legacy and change. And I mean, the wrestling industry as a whole is changing, and I think, you know, we're, you know, definitely a part of that, if not largely responsible for it.
Oh yeah. Like, I get the sense that it's embracing things that get lost in what we tend to think of as pro wrestling these days, where the characters and the flair and the dramatics are so much bigger in Lucha than anywhere else.
Yeah, I have people every week come up to me that just aren't wrestling fans, and they've made that choice somewhere along life's path, and it's like now they have to revisit it almost. And the amount of people that have come up to me and told me that, you know, that they're not fans of professional wrestling, but that they watch this show, or that they binge watch this show, or especially now with it being on Netflix, is crazy. I mean, it's like, yeah, friends and friends of friends and parents of friends of friends, and the most odd sort of people that just kind of get caught up in that universe that we've created. And again, they wouldn't, you know, be caught dead watching professional wrestling, but this, you know, product, whatever it is, to them is hitting a, you know, striking a chord.
Yeah. I have seen that myself, and I know that myself. Like, I will get tired. I'll get tired watching Monday nights for 3 straight hours, but Lucha, I can sit in marathon no problem.
Right. Just, yeah.
It's strange to me, because that means your Trios Championship lasted about 5 hours in my head.
Right.
Okay. So, a little bit of tangent to that, because Lucha does things so differently. It's one of the places where one of the only places I've seen intergender matches, which is always the thing I hear about from anyone who watches for the first time. Was that a new thing for you when you came in, or have you had experience with that?
I think it was a little less new for us as the wrestlers, because I think I've been told subsequently that me and Sexy Star, the first match of the first episode, was like the first televised intergender match, like maybe ever or something like that, which I didn't approach it with that, like, historical significance in mind. To me, it's, you know, an intergender match, which again, on independent levels, that's not that uncommon. I mean, the caliber of these women nowadays is incredible, and they want to mix it up with the dudes, and why not, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, I didn't really, after it aired and the feedback I was getting, I'm just like, I didn't realize that, you know, in certain universes that didn't exist, so it's like, oh my God, you know, whatever. And then different thought pieces and stuff like that, everyone kind of weighing in on it. I was like, oh, whoa, this is, you know, again, I was kind of somewhat unaware of all that. Because, no, it's not as strange to us. I had a match with a young lady, Silesia Sparks, a Canadian, that is, like, I really, really enjoyed for AIW Wrestling in Cleveland and several years ago. And, yeah, it was, you know, an intergender match. But obviously you have to look at them through like a different lens, or you plan them with certain things in mind, or it takes a very like nuanced approach, but you know, it's not that different for us. So and because it's been happening, it's nice for a mainstream product to address that. You know, it's not, I always think about, like, I'm pretty sure Dana White from UFC back in the day was more or less on the record saying that there would, like, never be women fighting and that people didn't want to see it.
Right.
And it was, you know, sort of barbaric and whatever. And now, obviously, that's not the case. And the women are, you know, draws, and people are tuning in just to see them. So they had to change with the times. And I think that's just part of, you know, speaks to Lucha Underground at large, is that we're much more in tune with, you know, society in general and trends and just what is going on. We're just much more, you know, in touch.
So back to Son of Havoc himself, the man in the mask. Again, so different that I'm not sure how these things work anymore, which is a good thing. How did that character come to be?
It was their idea. I was told roughly 3 to 4 hours before the first episode. So I learned the name, outfit, and everything. If you could go back and watch the first episode, I'd been presented with all that, you know, mere hours before. But I'm grateful at that point. I'd been in the wrestling business for, you know, 13 to 14 years. So it was something that I could adapt to. And I just felt so ready, for lack of a better term. I mean, I'd been given all these kind of half starts and seeming opportunities and stuff like this. And I was like just ready to make whatever work. Cause I do believe in myself. And then when they gave it to me, and I was like, okay, at least the outfit is like all black. I can work with this. So, I mean, they could have called me Octopus Man and like given me the silliest outfit of all time. And I still think it would have worked. I mean, you can see it even in the trajectory of my character, and from where it started to where it is now is a night and day difference. And that where it is was not the plan for it. And that's sort of a very real, a very organic unfolding of that story arc that kind of changed with the time. So, you know, it's a testament to them, too, to have the, you know, balls, for lack of a better term, to change their ideas with, you know, with what people want to see and what's best for the product. And just because they've come up with something doesn't mean that, you know, that they're willing to, you know, address the fact that perhaps it's not the best thing ever. And they have that flexibility, which is, you know, an amazing environment to work in, because you don't hear about that other places.
Right. So you kind of touched on a little bit, but like going from the losing streak early on in season one to now, you know, in the talks and flirting with the championship picture, like for like that rise in the fan support, especially with how rabid they seem to be in the temple. Like, how has that been for you?
Oh, awesome! Because it's been 1,000% real. So it just adds that extra layer to it. I mean, I was never the guy with the cool vignettes, doing the cool stuff, winning the cool matches ever. You know, so I was never. But within that, I was never pushed down anybody's throat. So I think people see and recognize that here's a guy that's been here from the first episode, you know, giving it his all, like every time, every week, just laying it all on the line, and that passion that I have for this business and for my career and for what I do, it permeates the building or something, like they're able to kind of latch onto that, and together we've done this thing. It's just really neat how, again, it was never the plan of like, oh, we're going to make you one of the coolest dudes. And then that just sort of has unfolded because, you know, I went in this with, again, like they gave me the character and everything. And I'm like, okay, like I'm taking this to the top, you know, like it's that point. I'm not in wrestling for 17 years at this point to just be like sort of hanging out. You know, all of my best things and best feuds and number one fans, like all of that stuff is yet to come. And I have to kind of believe that to, you know, keep myself motivated and moving forward. So kind of with that mindset, I think people have, you know, attached to it. We all sort of understand that. And it's just a fun environment, like you just touched on. I mean, the believers in the temple kind of lose their mind. It's a really cool environment. So it's awesome and exciting to just be a part of that and feed off that energy. And again, there's that two-way street of pro wrestling. So what they give me, you know, I try to give back and vice versa. So it's just a lot of fun.
So one last question for you. What does, without spoiling anything, not to keep you out of trouble because I don't want spoilers,
right,
but what lies in the future for Son of Havoc and or Matt Cross?
Well, I can say that with the remainder of season 3 starting up this week. Two of my favorite matches that I've probably had in Lucha Underground are yet to come. So when people tell me, like, oh, we're really excited, it's like, no, no, no. You don't even know. Like, I'm excited. So, you know, we don't get to see these things beforehand or anything like that. So when it airs, it'll be the first time I see it. So I'm just going off, you know, a feel and memory and stuff like that. But, again, two of my favorite matches that I've had there yet are still yet to come in this season. So I'll be tuning in with everybody else, you know, just kind of waiting to see those. I mean, they put out like another minute trailer the other night, and just watching that, I was like getting goosebumps because I was getting so excited because I had some clips from these matches. So yeah, a lot of crazy things. I mean, as you've come to expect at this point. So I mean, more of the same, you know. It's just we're not coming off the gas at all. It's just, you know, full speed ahead, Lucha Underground style. And then Matt Cross is just, you know, out there traveling the world doing it. I was looking at my June schedule the other day, and it was, like, almost scaring me. I think I leave my house for L.A. on, like, June 6th, and then I come home, like, July 2nd. And that's just all from traveling from one show to the next show. I'm doing a couple weeks in Australia with Tommy Dreamer's House of Hardcore in between there, and it's just really, really, really insane. I mean, I have some debuts coming up in Louisiana and Oklahoma, and, you know, I'm just, I've already been to 8 countries so far this year. Holland last month made it 25 countries that I've wrestled in now, so, you know, I'd like to wrestle in every state. My goal was 25 countries, which is what I said when they eliminated me from Tough Enough, so just nailed that one, so now I'm aiming for 30.
Very, very nice. So, Lucha Underground Season 3 resuming on the El Rey Network next week, May 31st. I cannot wait. Seriously, people, this is the most fun I've had watching a wrestling show in a long, long time. Matt Cross, Son of Havoc, thank you very much for joining me.
My pleasure.
Stay tuned, guys. We got a lot more coming up right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, WTR Sunday Night. Coming back.
Who is the greatest hockey player of all time? CB Radio has decided.
Butchering some names. Frank Nyberg versus Joe Nieuwenhuizen. Nieuwenhuizen.
I'm going to go with Nieuwendijk.
Yes,
Nieuwendijk. Wow. That is not what it looks like. Sweeney Schneider versus Matt Schmidt.
It's Milt. Not
mad. Whatever. I figured that was going to help out Team Chat. Finally, someone who has a real name. Brad Park gets Mark Messier.
Messier.
What the
Messier.
Hell?
Fucking lynch him. Get a rope.
He has a goddamn R at the end. Screw you.
I can only wait till he gets to that Wayne Gretzky guy.
Guy Lafleur versus Lauren Chatbot. You added a T. Yes, I did. On purpose. Brett Hole versus Ray Borku.
Finkel?
Bjork?
Ray fucking Finkel.
Bjork. Okay, whatever.
Just think of the Swedish chef.
Fischler versus Wayne Gretzky.
Gretzky. I'll be the Gretzky guy.
Way to play into it, Jobber. Way to play into it.
Pavel. Wait. Pavel. Bure. What? How did they have his mouth?
Bure.
Versus Bure.
Bure. Okay.
Oh my
fucking
god.
French. Jerome Ignilia.
Aginla.
What?
Aginla.
Aginla? Versus Joe Sakic. That's where I was going to go originally, but I figured it was going to be pronounced differently than I was expecting.
Jerome Aginla, one of the all-time greatest Calgary Flames players of all time.
Okay, Sakic. So I'm going to go with Joe.
I'll move Joe Sakic on. I can feel the hatred now for that last one.
You're all idiots.
It's the Greater Than Great Debate, heard Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is third generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Stampede Kid T.J. Wilson. You listen to the WTR Sunday night.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Special thanks to Son of Havoc, Matt Cross, slightly pre-recorded interview for your listening pleasure to kick off the program this evening. Good job, Omega.
Hey, that was fun to do.
You pissed off Mike.
I'm sorry, Mike.
He's not talking to you.
I'm cool. What happened?
Nothing. Go back to sleep. No, wait. Wake up. We're on the air.
No, I got through two seasons of Lucha Underground and said, Rock, get me someone from Lucha. Anyone. I would need to talk to someone. So, like, that's not bullshit in that interview. It's like, that is some of my favorite wrestling right now. I'm super excited for season three to keep going. Like, it's just fun to watch. Really
and
fun.
Of course, everybody, if you didn't get it, initially, only because Omega's been saying for the last several weeks, you can catch Lucha Underground now streaming on Netflix. Which, like Matt was saying, that's got to do nothing but good for them to bring some eyeballs.
Oh, yeah. So it's been all over my feed thanks to that.
Which is really good. So hopefully that little interview will help get them a little more traction. And I think you did a good enough job that we should be able to line up others from the show.
I would thoroughly enjoy that.
That would be good. And maybe for the next interview, we could actually schedule it so, like, Mike could be around.
We'll see what we can do.
Yeah, well, maybe. You know, hey, you never know. Next Sunday night, we might even hear from the Hulkster. Maybe.
I'll pass.
Well, you know, brother.
There's a Hulk Hogan interview in a nutshell.
Need to do Lindsay that. I just want to hear him call her brother over and over again.
Yeah, okay, Rock, get on that. Get Hulk Hogan for the rack so we can hear Hulk Hogan call Lindsay brother.
Not a hot idea, apparently.
Well, he's probably like in the kitchen getting some food or something. I don't know. So anyway, so the pre-recorded portion of the program has concluded. Now we are live, not Memorex. Some of you might remember those commercials.
Memorex.
Oh, you don't
God.
Know.
God.
Am I bringing you back to your childhood?
No.
Before your time. Your parents' childhood. Is it live or is it Memorex?
Okay, so let's talk about the pro wrestling we saw recorded on Betamax now.
Oh, wait a minute. What's Betamax? I don't know what you're talking about. I've never heard of that. Or VHS or 8-track tapes or anything like that. Reel to reel. Oh, I've never heard of that either.
I'm absolutely sure that's true.
Rock is dead, they say. Long live Rock. I'm sorry, I had to do that because that'll be Matt in the chat room. You can't believe Rock's dead. And I'm like, what? No. Don't be silly. Anyway, diving right into it, guys. Jinder Mahal as WWE World Champion. Has it sunk into for you?
Like a tick.
You're just really not happy, are you?
No, I'm not happy.
I just don't get it. I really don't.
Barry Horowitz just won the world title.
Oh, now, he wasn't a jobber. Like Barry.
3MB.
Go find a corner.
There you go. Mike, what is your reaction a week later?
At first, I really wasn't fond of Jinder Mahal being champion until... Oh, I can't believe I'm going to say this. Nope. I do have alcohol. Cool. I actually am starting to like it. I can't. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. That was a good celebration. Number one, I don't care. Number two, I mean, he became WWE champion. And what did he do? The first thing he did, hey guys, don't forget the guys that helped me get to where I am. Hey guys, I'm champion because of you. Great guy. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
He's humble. That I will say. The guy's humble.
Oh, it's an act. He's not humble. He's just pretending.
Yeah, I know. But anyway.
Play to India.
There you go. Yeah, play to India or Calgary and Alberta up here in Canada. Believe it or not.
That's not where they're marketing right now, though.
What is the state government called in the States? The
state government?
Yeah. Like you've got a governor for the state. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and... What it's not? What is it? State Congress or whatever?
Like we have congressmen, we have senators, we have
But those are like national or federal or whatever.
Yeah, they represent states.
Okay, yeah, but like just for the state itself, is it like a state legislature or whatever?
Basically.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Because like up here, the main house instead of Senate or Congress. It's the House of Commons and all the political parties, they basically call each other liars for 6 hours a day. And then they go and get drunk with each other, you know, politician stuff. In provincial politics, we don't have governors. We've got premiers and it's legislature, state or provincial legislature up here. The only reason why I'm bringing up politics is not to make anybody uncomfortable, but to point out that Jinder Mahal was recognized as WWE World Champion by the Alberta Legislature this past week, by the provincial government.
Okay.
I just thought you'd find that kind of interesting. But, you're getting... people such as yourself, Omega, who don't think that he has earned the title run just yet. And, then you've got the other side of the coin. There's a lot of support coming his way the past week. And it's not just out of India either.
Well, the way you phrase that is earned. Now, if you're talking about someone who comes in, does what he does really well, which in this case has been to let people pin him for a three count.
Oh, boy.
Okay, then, yeah. Then he's done his job correctly. So maybe you can make a case for earning it. My issue has always been believability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone who holds that belt is supposed to be credible in some way, shape, or form, and I don't think they did enough to make him credible. It would be it'd be one thing if, you know, if he had guys, you know, a little bit bigger than the Singh brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because if they came in, if you give him 2 months of him just running with that as backup,
yeah,
and winning matches because they interfere, okay. If you establish them as a solid tag team and make them credible backup for him, that's fine. But, you know, and it would all still work for me. But it's the fact they jump in immediately with no build up at all, no credibility at all, and they're basically just target dummies.
Yeah.
They don't really have any kind of menace. They don't have any kind of, strength to them as bodyguards. They're just there to distract them so Jinder can get cheap wins.
Yeah.
One thing it'd be like a squirmy little heel that use guys like that, fine. But I'm talking about like it's a faction of three where, none of them really have, none of them have really have the credibility to last in that role that they're in right now.
Yeah, well, you look at the Singh brothers compared to Jinder Mahal just size-wise, and the Singh brothers look like I could beat them up. And I'm only saying that because I know exactly how tall Jinder Mahal is. Because I'm going to name drop it again. He's a friend of mine. I've known him since 2006.
I mean, he comes out of the ring. It looks like he brought his tax agents with him.
There you go. I thought for a second you were going to say taxidermists. I don't know why.
He's just dragging a stuffed cheetah down to the ring with them.
Yeah, sure. Why not? That'd be kind of funny. But not. Anyway, does he get
not
all this?
No.
Yeah, no kidding. Is he getting all this support on the internet because, he's the trendy thing right now? What?
It's how the internet rolls.
Yeah.
The internet likes to latch on to things that are counterculture and very trolly in nature.
Well, go ahead.
I've given the most prestigious title in the business to somebody who has enough wins this year. You can count them on one hand.
Yeah,
that's pretty trolly.
Well, the one thing that I want to ask really quickly. You say that they haven't built him up yet. As a result, he's not credible. Can he be built into being the champion while he's holding the belt?
I think it's possible.
Has it been
anything done is possible?
Yeah, anything's possible.
Yeah, okay. Now,
happen in the World Wrestling Federation.
There you go. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, 1993. But, has something like that ever taken place before? They give somebody the belt and then make him credible while he's holding the title.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, do you guys have any recollection of this being done with any other wrestler?
The thing of it is that it, for some odd strange reason, me as a fan, I can finally get used to someone who's not A, full-blooded American, B, a Samoan, C, hate to say it, from the Great White North, we have a champion that's fresh. Different culture.
Somebody who's not from the Great White North.
Full blood.
He was born here in Calgary. Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, I was just going to point out he's the nephew of the great Gama Singh.
Okay. Well, Jesus Christ. Fuck!
You didn't know that, did you, Mike?
No. The reason why I'm saying fuck is because I was about to be like, oh, he's not an ancestor of a famous, he's not an heir to a famous wrestler. And then I was just like, ah, son of a bitch.
Yeah, I dropped that bomb on you.
But you see what I mean? It's like a new culture.
Yeah.
A whole new culture. Kali doesn't count. I hate to say it. But just the WWE, it doesn't. He doesn't count.
He's more Indian than the guy you're crediting.
He doesn't count. I can understand.
That's hilarious. I can understand why Omega's laughing. Some people might not. Like, Matt might not get it.
The difference is you can understand gender. Anyway,
But, okay, because he can speak English.
No, Kali can speak. All right, I'm getting off subject. Stop. All right, but when we saw the celebration of somebody holding the WWE Championship, not the World Heavyweight, not any other belt, the WWE Championship. That's a thing, guys.
No.
And I have yet to see something like that in a while.
No. Okay. Fair enough. What about you, Omega? Can you recall anybody being made credible after that?
That's the thing, because there's been wormy champions in the past that won it under suspicious reasons.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is something to say for the belt itself, because they generally did that with the world title. That's what happened with Jack Swagger, for instance.
Uh-huh.
Before Kali, I was called the least credible world heavyweight champion ever.
We the people.
Hold on. Jack Swagger was a good world champion. I don't give a fuck what anyone said.
Look,
he was a wild card, okay? I get that. You know, the whole get arrested here and cashing in my world heavyweight title contract match.
Something.
That's the wrong speech impediments.
Shut up.
That's the only one Mike can do.
There you go. But it was just, they fucked up that whole situation. They fucked up that whole persona.
See,
Swagger, they could have made Swagger, man.
That's the thing. Swagger had personality and potential, but they
squandered it. And he had the last name. I mean, how do you screw that up?
Well, it's WWE.
Think about it.
Anything is possible in the WWE.
The thing is, with gender, it's the leap that they are taking. I have seen them give the belt to somebody and try to make them a credible champion after the fact. Like, the fact that they were able to win the belt is supposed to be what makes them credible in that role, and then they prove it afterwards. They did that with, like, The Miz, who they pushed super hard after he won that championship, so he seemed like a credible opponent for John Cena at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in that, yeah, they try to raise his credibility, and he still, to an extent, rides that to this day, because he still, one way or another, has a clean win over John Cena at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think, he's not the only one, never mind.
Mm. For the championship.
Yeah.
So, you do have examples of that, but at least, like, with The Miz, you've got Intercontinental and Tag Team title reigns under his belt before that. You have elements of that credibility built up, you know, more of that traditional build from tag team to mid-card title to world title. Gender jumps straight into the top of the card when nothing really gave him any kind of credibility before that. Nothing, like, when 3MB is the highlight of the career, it's not the best of signs.
Well, you know what? The title win was not the original plan for Jinder Mahal. Did you know that?
No.
Initially, he was supposed to be getting into a tag team match, a partner of Jinder's choosing, versus Gronk and somebody else. The NFL stepped in and said, no.
I'm pretty sure that someone else would have been Mojo Rawley.
Thank you, NFL.
As a matter of fact, yeah, it was Mojo.
I mean, who else would it be? It's his friend.
Well, that's why Mojo won the Andre Memorial Battle Royal, is because that whole thing, that's what that was supposed to set up for. But NFL said, excuse me? No. Nuh-uh. Not gonna do it. So they didn't do it.
WWE was smart, and I highly doubt this, and it ain't gonna happen. They could continue Mojo versus Jinder. I'm just saying.
Mojo versus Jinder for the World Heavyweight Championship of the world, and that's about when the sky rains blood and the horsemen ride across the sky.
Well, Jinder Mahal is WWE champion, so anything is possible in the World Wrestling Federation.
Hey, Omega, I have to initially blame you because you're the first one to say it tonight.
Rule of three, man.
Okay.
My thing is, when we talk about credible champions,
is nothing sacred?
Nothing at all.
There you go.
The WWE champ. Yeah, and that's the sad part. The WWE championship is not credible anymore. It's not sacred as it used to be. There were a lot, like, we can name a lot of people that should have been WWE champion and have not. The only person that really kind of twisted my brain was Sheamus. When Sheamus beat John Cena, I was sitting here like, A, was that supposed to happen? Because everyone's sitting here like, oh my God. Two, so there's no buildup on Sheamus at all. Except he's going to face him in a tables match.
Well, one of the main reasons why Sheamus was so shot at as champion was because everybody was absolutely positive he only won the title because he was Triple H's workout partner. So there is that. But anyway, that's Jinder Mahal's first week as WWE World Champion, going from somebody that Omega feels they didn't build up before he got the title run to somebody that WWE tried to build up, but the fans would not accept, Ryback. Skip Sheffield. Omega, you've got a mini rant about this. Can I just like, I'm not going to read this entire thing, but basically he, this past week said that independent wrestlers are ruining wrestling and it's being carried over to the WWE and Triple H, and Vince, have allowed it to happen. It's, just a bunch of crap that he says. I caught your tweet, Omega.
Wait, what?
I caught, it was either a tweet or something that you posted on Facebook.
Yeah, so I'm not sure I've ever tweeted about Ryback ever.
You pointed something out to Ryback that he apparently doesn't want to, make public on his own right.
You're gonna have to be specific. I have no idea what you're talking about at this point.
Ryback happens to be an independent wrestler.
He sure is.
Yeah, now, I didn't say anything about that.
Now, I'm sure that was your tweet or that was something you said that I read.
Like, I almost never tweet or post about wrestling.
Yeah.
Okay. You gonna rant, Omega, or can I?
Go ahead.
Fuck that nigga. No. For the simple fact is that, how the fuck are you gonna say some bullshit about, oh, independent wrestlers are ruining wrestling? Bitch, you're an independent wrestler. You just wrestled at MCW. The only fucked up part about it is you didn't make it to the WWE because you can't fucking sell. They had to repackage your character. Not to mention is that you're a person that injures people because you don't know how to properly post. But yet you were a charity case and showed up in WWE.
Mike, just to interrupt your rant, where do most wrestlers learn to wrestle?
Training school.
On the indie scene.
In the indie scene.
Thank you. Continue.
And considering the fact that I guess he wasn't bashing, but consider the fact that you would even say that out your mouth and you're an independent wrestler, how dare you? You're a fucking hypocrite, and I don't see anything for you, Ryback. Hate to say it. Never did. Never will. Skip Sheffield, you should have stayed there. Ryback, the big guy. No. The fact that everyone was chanting Goldberg, I now see why. But yet, you don't even deserve that Goldberg chant.
That's an insult to Goldberg.
Fuck off. Learn how to wrestle. Learn how to sell. Considering the fact that you changed your name legally to Ryback, sounds like someone we know. You're trying to do your own thing, but yet you're knocking off somebody else. Get originality, man.
There you go. Rant courtesy of Heartbreak Mike right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's full of shit to begin with.
Yeah.
I mean, I take issue with it, initially, because A, you do a different style of wrestling doesn't mean the other style of wrestling isn't credible.
Mm-hmm.
Get into a fight with a midget sometime. It ain't all that easy to catch up with him. There's things like that where just because you're big does not mean you're tough. And just because you're little does not mean you're weak. In a legitimate fight, the wrestler is going to go down to the martial artist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter how big the wrestler is if the martial artist is quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And that is legitimate. try, well, you can't, but try asking Bruce Lee sometime.
Just saying.
Yeah. Bruce Lee was never built like Ryback.
No, he wasn't.
He wouldn't let himself be. He wouldn't be able to do what he could.
At the same time, did you know that Bruce Lee, at one point in time, had only 2% body fat?
Not surprising.
Isn't that just incredible? Like, I'm sure that everybody who's ever watched a Bruce Lee martial arts movie has at one point in time seen Bruce Lee without his shirt on. Holy cow.
Like, I take issue with him when he talks about things like, well, when did gymnastics make you tough? It doesn't. Like, just because it doesn't make you super bulky, just because you don't look like an action figure or a comic book superhero doesn't mean you're not tough. I a gymnast versus Ryback, doing splits across parallel bars. Who's gonna be the one in pain?
Ryback, I would think.
Yeah.
I'm just guessing though.
A little bit. He don't look too flexible to me.
Not overly, no.
My thing is, it's an insult. So it's like, so are you telling me that you're calling William Regal weak? Are you calling, I don't know, Dean Malenko weak? Are you calling Eddie Guerrero weak? What do you some of the stuff that you say, Ryback, I'm sorry. And I'm glad that I don't have to be censored. It's horseshit. It's complete horseshit, and I don't give a five Freddy fingered fuck about the shit that you think of.
Freddy got fingered.
WWE is pushing guys that cannot hurt a fly. So I guess Shinsuke Nakamura can't hurt a fly. I think Dolph Ziggler can't hurt a fly. I can't believe I'm saying this. Well, no. I guess Seth Rollins can't hurt a fly.
He can hurt a scorpion. We know that.
Ooh. Did you just go there? I think you did.
The fruit was hanging. I picked.
I'm glad that you didn't get a shot at. I'm glad you didn't become WWE champion. I'm glad that you got released. And I'm sorry to any of the indie promotions that hire Ryback, considering the fact that he's talking about this. Go to New Japan, and I promise you, you won't make it for 3 hours.
I hate the implication that anyone who isn't him, anyone who isn't built like him, isn't tough.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to, is that he thinks his type, his super over-muscular type, that's what makes you tough. Well,
and that's
fucking
the problem.
Shit.
That's the problem. He has that musclehead mentality.
You know who's tough? Those fucking martial artists that could punch through cinder blocks all day and barely feel it. Those gymnasts who can balance themselves on muscles and hold themselves up with muscles that aren't really meant to be used like that, but they can do that. Tough is okay. You go to the gym and you strap two hippopotamuses to a bar and bench press that. Okay, fine. You can get tough. But tough is also the guy fighting through chemotherapy.
Right.
And knows he's going to come out of it the other end healthy again. Right. That's tough.
That's
tough is growing another human being inside you for 9 months and giving birth. That's fucking tough.
Exactly.
There's a lot of ways to be tough, and bitching about people on the internet isn't one of them.
I think that Ryback should just finally fulfill his lifelong dream of being a doorman at a strip club in Vegas.
Ask DDP or Batista. Maybe they'll help you being a bouncer.
Yoga doesn't make you tough.
No, not even what I mean. And I know we're taking too much time on this topic, but that Ryback pisses me off.
I would Ryback, never tell.
I, as an independent wrestler, Ryback pisses me off.
Oh, if you ain't got these type of muscles, you're not like the big guy.
Bitch, I don't want to be the big guy. I don't want to be that muscle head. I'd rather be the teddy bear that I am. Big Show said it best. Chicks dig big, and it doesn't get any bigger than this.
If I turn into Ryback trying to be like the big guy, fuck that.
Exactly. No, I'm
not cool. Fool me, mofo.
I will stay a scrawny geek that I am.
I will stay as I am right now. And I hate to say it, Ryback. A lot of these women independent wrestlers could kick your ass more.
Well, I happen to know a hell of a lot of independent wrestlers who are 10 times tougher than Ryback, smaller than him, not muscle bound, kick his ass. And here's one name, Johnny Devine.
There you go.
Here's a history lesson for you. Goldberg versus Chris Jericho. Who's the one who won that fight?
Now, did you want to talk about the script or the real one?
The real one.
The real one.
Yeah. It was Chris Jericho, literally, Goldberg's ass in the backstage.
Not the meathead. Meathead didn't stand a chance.
No. The thing with meatheads, kick those motherfuckers in the knees and they're done.
That was, of course, talking about Goldberg, Jericho. That was back when Goldberg was believing his own hype.
And this is what Ryback is doing. He's believing his own hype.
Mm. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Goldberg's own hype didn't come from Goldberg. Ryback's is coming from Ryback.
Yes. Ryback is apparently smelling himself, and I guess he's smelling the testosterone and the steroids and the energy protein shakes and everything else.
I just call it the bullshit stew.
There you go. And he's doing this thing.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, he's going to piss off the wrong person, and they're going to kick his ass. And when they kick his ass, and when I hear about it, I promise you, it'll be the best segment that I've ever done in WTR so far.
You're going to laugh your ass off.
You's right. I was going to laugh my ass off. I told you so.
And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, because it will be well deserved.
Yeah.
Damn straight. So, anyway, that was just a jackass thing for him to put out there. But something that isn't such a jackass thing, as a matter of fact, I think it's a really good idea, and it's about time, and it's fitting, thrown out there by WWE, the Mae Young Classic.
Yes.
Upcoming women's tournament filmed in July.
My birth month.
What are you thinking, Omega?
I love it. I love that we're back to, calling them the classics.
Yes. Like,
I love these tournaments that are in tribute or in memory of somebody. And yeah, it's high time. The WWE has put so much more emphasis on women ditching the diva title, ditching the diva name altogether.
Yep.
You know, presenting the women in the main event, you know, being more willing to, okay, let's, you know, they can do a short Iron Man, or they could do a cage match, and that's cool now, and that's fantastic. And we have women in the WWE who are good enough and tough enough, Ryback, to actually handle that.
Wink, wink.
So, yeah, it's a perfect time, you know, in this women's renaissance of wrestling on, you know, for WWE to bring up, you know, a big tournament to find the next crop of women's wrestling.
Yep. Now, one name that WWE has reportedly approached for the tournament, Viper.
I'm sorry. All I know is the American Gladiator. What?
Okay. She's one of the biggest non-WWE female wrestlers out there right now.
Mm.
Oops. Sorry. I'm just doing five things at once here. Yeah. And
yes, she is.
You just Googled Viper, didn't you, Mike?
No, that too.
Okay, well, fill everybody in on what you're reading, son.
Anybody who does not know who Viper is a female competitor wrestler out in Scotland. She is from WCPW. Yes. Listen, I gotta. She's from Glasgow, actually. Jesus Christ. She may be full figured, but she ain't like most girls. I'll tell you that right now. Her moves are the elevator drop, avalanche, power slam, the Viper Bomb, in tribute to the Vader Bomb, and then a move called the Snake Bite, an electric chair face buster.
So, yeah, WWE has reportedly approached her to be in the Mae Young Classic. And I think that's great news. They're actually going after more and more top tier talent that isn't homegrown anymore. And that could only mean more good for the women's divisions in WWE, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen now that WWE can hit huge success bringing in indie darlings. You know, we saw with Daniel Bryan, you know, we've gotten, you know, classic matches out of guys like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And then, yeah, AJ freaking Styles. So,
what was that Ryback was saying about indie wrestlers ruining the product?
Fuck that guy.
He's just bitter because they're getting they're getting attention, and they're not doing it with like 24-inch pythons like him.
He just makes me think of a kid stomping his feet because he's not getting his way.
Mm-hmm. It's grade school bully.
Yeah, you know? Pretty much.
So. No, it's fantastic. Like to know that they can actually do that with they're doing that with the women. We see that a little bit with NXT because we're starting to get, you know, a crop of talent that have indie experience rather than, you know, just, you know, we're beyond the age of hiring models and gymnasts to come in and pretend to be wrestlers.
Yeah.
You know, and getting a very uneven balance of success and failure with those, you know, with those attempts.
That said, Omega, who would you say is the most successful model turned wrestler that ever graced WWE?
Trish Stratus.
There you go. Without even thinking, you got it.
That was the miracle story. That's the one that made them think they could get away with that. And then we got the Divas era where
they realized they caught lightning in a bottle and they couldn't reproduce it.
Yeah. I think the closest we've come is the Bellas. And we have to admit, like, the Bellas got better, but they're not Charlotte. They're not Sasha Banks.
Mm-hmm. They're not Natty. Yeah, you know, I had to say it. You guys are expecting it.
Of course. Of course.
But in this case, it's eminently true. And no homerism on my part. Well, no more though so than usual. But yeah, it's just a case of the independent circuit producing awesome wrestlers, both male and female, WWE taking advantage of that.
Yes, because there are a lot of women that I want to see in this blessed tournament. One is Alex Windsor. If you guys do not know who she is, oh, please look her up. Yes. Second one, and this has to happen, Candice LeRae.
Wouldn't be surprising if they brought in a whole bunch of indie girls for this tournament. And we all know how popular and well-received the Cruiserweight Classic was. Was the Cruiserweight Classic basically the genesis for something like the Mae Young Classic, or would this have been something that would have taken place anyway?
No. I think first it would have been the Cruiserweight Classic, then it was the UK title tournament, now it's the the Mae Young Classic.
Mm. Yeah.
And whatever Trips is doing, and whatever they're doing good, because the fact that Triple H is being the guy to look, I have complete faith in this tournament, because after the Cruiserweight Classic, oh, give us what we want. You got fucking Kota Ibushi. Come on. Jesus. You got Cedric Alexander. You had Rich Swann. You had a lot of them. What is his name? Yes, Zack Sabre. And most of them just wanted to be a part of the tournament. Didn't even want a contract. That's good. So Triple H, please, please don't fail us. Well, no. I'm not even going to say that. Just give us some good wrestling.
Left up to Triple H, I think we're going to have a great tournament. Whether Steph's involved or not. And I don't mean as a character. I mean as Stephanie McMahon. Yeah. Of course, naturally. Oh, shit. I dropped my headset. Oops. Good reflexes, though. I caught it just on the way down to the ground behind my back. That was impressive. You guys should have seen it. But you didn't.
Super real.
There you go.
You don't know that I didn't see it.
Did you see it?
I have my ways.
Okay, what am I wearing?
Nothing.
Don't say that.
Funny thing is, I wouldn't put it past him.
I am fully dressed in something.
Then whose camera am I watching?
What the hell was that?
Oh, God. Shut up and just go to commercial. Go to commercial.
Oh, Mike's watching porn. With that, hey, everybody, we're gonna take our, I guess our second break of the night. I was going to say first. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night Rest Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget, Extreme Rules Pick'em coming up in just a little bit. We'll be back right after this.
Now available at youtube.com/recradioshow is brand new daily content. On Mondays and Tuesdays, we dive into the history of Raw and SmackDown with recreated matches from the history of both Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. On Wednesdays, WTR Sims Archives will be featured from the previous night's live stream. On Thursdays and Fridays, step into the ring for a male and female King of the Ring tournaments with legends battling today's stars. All of this content from WWE 2K17 available daily at youtube.com/recradioshow. Subscribe today, so you don't miss out on all the action. What is the greatest television theme song of all time? CB Radio has decided. It's the Greater Than Great Debate, heard every Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The Addams Family, their house is a museum. When people come to see them, they really are a scream. The Addams Family.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Tuesday night, step inside the virtual realm with WTR Sims.
It's Boots the Asses time!
Watch as your favorite WTR personalities battle it out to find out which one truly is the best.
To be the man! You gotta beat the man!
Watch it live Tuesday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/rackradioshow. Or on demand at youtube.com/rackradioshow. Tuesday nights will never be the same again with WTR Sims.
Ladies and gentlemen,
celebrating 5 years of the award-winning The Rack.
In your time in TNA, do you have a favorite person that you've liked, that you've worked with, or is there anybody that you want to work with?
I have a favorite and I have a least favorite. My favorite would be Kurt Angle, because he's the greatest wrestler to ever live, and I was able to learn a lot by overcoming the odds and defeating him, so that'd be the greatest. And probably my least favorite would be Matt Hardy, because all this misery is because of him. He's conniving, he's secretly evil, I dislike him very much, and I look forward to being the one person to knock him out of the World Title Series, and then out of wrestling in general. So,
my goals. What do you like to do on your day off?
Well, I happen to have a day off today, and when I'm done doing interviews, I'll probably go and maybe get a nice little workout in and focus on my fitness. And after that, I will have a strenuous hour and a half massage with my personal masseuse, Helga. Really let her get in there deep, twist me out, work out the kinks. Maybe a fine steak dinner with a nice bottle of red wine after that, and you know, whatever the night brings. You know, it's a Monday, people might not be doing too much, but you know, I can usually find a nice soiree to attend on Monday.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Well, indeed, indeed.
Join us June 29th for the celebration at 10 p.m. Eastern, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I'm Al Snow, former WWE superstar, tough enough trainer, and just all-around gadabout. When I want to talk or I want to listen to someone else talk, I go to wildtalkradio.com.
A valley where I lay my head. Cold as a woman in another man's bed. Down in the forest with the devil in me. I remember the looks on their faces through the sycamore trees.
And welcome back, WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for joining us. If you missed the beginning of the show, we had a nice little 20-minute segment with Havoc Matt Cross. You'll be able to catch that in the archives sometime tomorrow afternoon, I do believe, Rock. He's refusing to talk tonight. Okay. So, yeah, sometime tomorrow afternoon, you can check out the archive to catch the interview if you missed it. And don't forget, you can catch us on the TuneIn app on your mobile device. Free! Download it. And search Wild Talk Radio Network, and then you can catch all the WTR programming, except for WTR Sims on Tuesday nights. But everything else is up for grabs while you're on the go. That said, guys, do you like amusement parks? You know, like theme parks?
Sure, let's go with yes.
Let's sure.
Because it's on the run sheet, I'm going to say yes.
There you go. You got like, you know, Six Flags, Disney World, Cedar Point, Boblo Island. You guys probably don't know that one. That's a Canadian one. There's a lot of others. I mean, Dolly Parton even has a theme park. Dollywood. Imagine that ride.
Not at this age.
There you go. I was going to make a really bad joke about Twin Peaks and then decided not to. Oh, wait a minute. I just did. Damn. Anyway, what if WWE had its own theme park?
Okay.
Would it be popular?
I mean, possibly.
Probably.
This is PG era WWE for a long time now, so they have a younger clientele that would drag mom and dad there crying endlessly until they get their way. Sure.
There you go. Why not a theme park with rides? You think about it. You know what? Here, I'm going to, Mike, pick a wrestler that you would create a ride and that it would be named after.
Mike literally typed, be right back.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I literally missed that because I was staring off into space. Omega, you're up.
Oh, so theme park ride, WWE inspired.
Yeah. After a wrestler.
The Cesaro Swing.
The Cesaro Swing.
Yeah, so it's like one of those carnival rides. It spins around, it goes up, it goes down, all that. It's just like a bunch of Cesaros in like a pillar that just swing the carts around.
Sort of like the swing at any midway, at any exhibition, any given day of the summer.
Pretty much.
And just call it Cesaro Swing. And instead of those chairs, you put you mold them into Cesaros.
Well, not the chairs themselves, like the pole that holds onto the chairs.
Okay, that would be Cesaro.
Yeah,
That's a good one, actually. I'm impressed. I was trying to think of one for Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, you'd
call it the Stunner.
I was going to say, no, you name the beer stand after him.
Okay. Okay, yeah, fine. The Hulk Hogan leg drop.
The Hulk Hogan leg drop.
Yeah, you sit in these chairs, and the chairs go around this square pole, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is these chairs lift up the pole and then drop down.
Eh.
Okay.
Rock doesn't like that one?
I don't like that one. No, I thought you said Hulk Hogan, and you do something where he's hulking up, so it's a really intense ride up a coaster. You're hulking up, and then one big dive down.
A roller coaster?
You're hulking up. I don't know.
All right.
It's better than a leg drop.
Ooh, I got the perfect one for Dean Ambrose, the Scrambler.
Dean would probably be the House of Mirrors. Why go one step further? We put Bray Wyatt in charge of the Haunted Mansion.
There you go. Bray Wyatt is the House of Horrors. That haunted house ride thing.
Yeah. The other thought in my head is we could actually make Ric Flair Space Mountain.
Woo!
But it's only 18 and up they're allowed.
I was about to say that would have to be. What about John Cena? Would you give him a ride? Or name a ride after him, and what would it be?
Don't ever ask me if I'd give John Cena a ride.
That was not phrased correctly.
So apparently, Tim wants to give John Cena a ride on Space Mountain.
Woo! Stop, Rock.
I'll go back to being quiet now.
Yes, that you were doing better when you weren't talking.
No, you were doing better when I wasn't talking. Anyway.
Would you name a ride after John Cena, and what would the ride be?
After John Cena, it's a good question.
I want to give
the name is simple. It's the attitude adjustment, but
no, like
how can you work in like the five knuckle shuffle?
No, I want to give him like a waterlog ride and call it the five moves of Flume.
Five moves. Ooh. Of Flume. God. Okay.
Hey, I'm going to work puns in. You have to under this circumstance.
I continue with your puns.
Continue with my puns. I could go the other way if you want.
He's got nothing.
How about we give Val Venus a Splash Mountain? That's the other direction. Should I go with the puns?
How about Chris Jericho?
Whew.
You would have to call it the Walls of Jericho, but what would the ride be? That's a tricky one.
God, there's part of me who wants to give him the Electric Light Parade, but that's not a ride, technically.
You can just do a giant wall they can climb. No, it's not a big amusement park ride, but they have it some places.
Yeah, I've seen climbing walls.
Yeah, that's a simple one.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be, like, gigantic things like that. I mean, you could give the Triple H ride is that hammer test.
Yeah.
At any carnival.
The test of strength is with the sledgehammer, yeah.
The Triple H test of strength, yeah.
Yeah.
There's
this big cutout of Triple H standing beside it, and his hand stops you from ever hitting the bell.
Not breaking through that glass ceiling.
For Brock, something just, you know, spins like an F5.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there are rides called the F5. It's one of the, like, have you ever been, like, one that looks like the big flying saucer where you lay your back against the pad and it all rises up?
Mm-hmm. All right, here's one. Roman Reigns.
The merry-go-round.
That has to be Bailey, and you know it.
Yeah, I know.
Roman Reigns.
Wow.
I have an awful, but, you know, for bumper cars, you can have Bob Holly.
Bob Holly bumper cars.
Bob Holly's bumper cars.
I'm sorry, but it works.
It does. Trying to think of anyone.
God, I have the worst thoughts sometimes. There's part of me what the bumper cars we named for Daniel Bryan for the whiplash you get.
No. Oh, there is actually an amusement park ride called Whiplash.
Oh, I know.
Oh, if he was only in Typhoon. You could do Splash Mountain with Typhoon.
Yeah, it's going. How that's going back then.
Well, I'm trying to think of things that, you know, themes.
What about Randy Orton?
The Lazy River.
Where you're just on a paddle boat, and the most difficult thing you have to do is a hairpin turn.
Wait, you could be nice and give him, like, the Viper roller coaster.
You could.
I mean, at some point, someone's got to be a roller coaster here, right?
You would think so, yeah.
Hogan the roller coaster.
I did the Hogan roller coaster, but no one liked that one.
The Hogan coaster.
Trying to think of who would work for a roller coaster.
Yeah, that's the trick. And like the roller coaster is the big attraction, so you want to use a big name for it. You could be the Ultimate Warrior, and the coaster cars just look like him running across the track.
Or the roller coaster is just named after The Rock, the most electrifying ride in all of entertainment. I know, it was awful.
I know.
But I'm trying.
I admit my defeat.
I'm just trying. I'm trying to figure out names.
That was just really bad.
No, like, if Austin is the beer stand, then the concession area is The Rock. And you always smell what he's cooking.
So, now.
Punishment.
Now to tie this all together. There had been talks at one point to come up with a WWE theme park thing. There's been an actual group that's been putting together ideas for a possible theme park. There's even a couple sketches out there of what it could look like. Now, I sent you one, and when you look at it, tell me the first thing you notice.
The road to WrestleMania.
Okay. Green Lantern John Cena.
But is that John Cena?
No, it is
not. That's The Rock.
That's The Rock.
In John Cena's gear.
Somebody screwed up.
It means someone put this together with a very quick trip through Google image search.
Yeah, they have ideas for like the haunted house to be done after the Boogeyman and, say, the Undertaker.
Not the Boogeyman.
Undertaker, maybe, yeah.
Like, Taker, obviously. Like, Boogeyman is like one of those cardboard pop-outs in the Undertaker's, little, you know, ride.
The Andre the Giant Funhouse.
Okay. Andre the Giant House of Mirrors.
And one of the other names is, you saw, the Road to WrestleMania.
Every single mirror makes you look super big.
As Yokozuna's.
That's Yokozuna's. So yeah, there was an actual reason to why I pitched this topic. It actually came out that there was, a theme park idea.
Yeah, they couldn't even get a physical Hall of Fame agreed on.
Well, that's why it's concepts. People who do the Legoland are working on this a little bit.
Oh.
The one group that pitched that idea. So there you go. So a WWE theme park in 2025? Who knows? Could happen.
Anything's possible in the world of the WWE.
Stop, I swear to God. I will come over there.
Ew.
Beat that line out of you.
Ew. Mike, don't try to get gross because you don't have the experience.
All you have to do is believe.
Why? We're making the bathrooms after him.
My goodness.
Steer the ship now, Tim.
Yeah, I think it's now time to play Pick'em for Extreme Rules.
Woo!
Which takes place next Sunday, only on the WWE Network. We have 5 current matches listed, so Tim, random thing picker time.
Oh, thanks for reminding me at the beginning of the show, like you're supposed to.
When you know you go, hey, coming up, we're doing Extreme Rules Pick'em, you would assume, hey, maybe I should pick up the random thing picker.
See, Brock, what you really need to do is send us, like, kind of a file that has all the things we're doing for the night show on it.
Keyword is assume, guys.
Anyway, you go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Make your picks. Best way to get a hold of us for picks, or you can tweet them at Wild Talk Radio. Up first is the Cruiserweight Championship. It's a submission match. Neville and his Rings of Saturn versus Austin Aries and his Last Chancery. Omega.
Yeah, that's a weird wrinkle to put into a Cruiserweight match.
I kind of suggested this when we were talking about it last month, that they would probably go in this direction. It makes sense because both guys do have submissions.
Yeah, I know. They have... I know.
Hey, it's better
it's
than...
Always weird. It's always weird to me to have submission matches between people who have one real submission.
Hey, it's better than one of the upcoming stipulations.
I know this. I know this.
Just saying.
God, it's one of the worst booked Extreme Rules I've ever seen.
Go back in history. You'll be wrong.
I mean, as far as using the theme of the show, we'll get there.
Again, go back and look at some of the
shut
shows.
Shut up. I'm going with Neville because it feels like they're building up Tozawa to be his next feud.
And that would give you points.
It would, because Tozawa's been my best earner.
Like, who you got?
Neville versus Austin Aries. Well, the submission match, I think it's just going to be like pure wrestling. Just straight pure wrestling between these two. Points. But Austin, wait. I got to think WWE logic. Neville.
What does the random thing picker say, Tim?
Random thing picker picked Neville.
Points.
And what does Tim pick?
Austin Aries, 4! Points. I'm doing well, don't break the streak!
Oh, that's right, it's your guy versus my guy. We should cut a promo.
What, now?
No.
Good, because I can't think at the moment.
We've tried promo cutting on this show before. It gets a little weird.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
The last time I cut a promo on this show, the response I got was, how do I top that? Just nothing.
Oh.
Crickets.
Cobwebs.
The Raw Tag Team titles are on the line in a steel cage match. The Hardys versus Cesaro and Sheamus, Mike.
Hardy Boys. I mean, it kind of sucks because, damn it, Cesaro and Sheamus had to go heel. But you know what? It's fine. At least those two motherfuckers are working together. I gotta go with the Hardys.
Oh my god.
The trick here is I'm not sure what you do with the Hardys if they. I guess you move on to Gallows and Anderson. We basically do what we did with the New Day, which is just run through the roster.
Because I think you're gearing the Hardys up for the revival, probably at SummerSlam.
Right.
Or after. You know.
God, that's gonna be amazing. The crowd wins.
It's weird to me, though, because you've got Cesaro and Sheamus fresh off of, you know, an effective heel turn to go up for the title and not come away with it. But, you know, I don't know, like if they don't, like if Cesaro and Sheamus win, their next opponents are, like, Enzo and Cass. And, like,
About that.
Yeah, slight caveat to that. A little asterisk on the side.
There we go.
Attacks Enzo in the back room, unseen, and the Hardy Boys substitute.
I'm half convinced he threw himself into those boxes just to get it over with for the week.
Did you not see the picture of who it was?
No.
Okay, never mind.
Who was it?
The Revival.
I saw them accidentally backstage. I saw that picture.
That's them. It's them sneaking away.
I don't believe WWE to be that good at that, of a subtle hint like that.
Oh, I do. Mean, so you're going who, Omega?
Let's go with Hardys.
I mean, from a booking standpoint, Tim, babyface is going, you know, being able to escape the cage is simple booking, right?
Is what booking?
The babyface is escaping the cage is simple booking.
Simple booking,
yeah.
Well, it's, you know, it's the easiest way out of a hard spot. You don't want to make Cesaro and Sheamus the champs right now. You don't. There's just way too much heat on these guys, like in a good way, being the heels chasing the Hardys at the moment. The Hardys are still way too over to take the titles off of at the moment. Seriously. It's just right now, it's a dumb move.
So Hardys?
I'm saying Hardys.
I say points. So what does the random thing picker say?
Shamo and Cesaris. It typed it in wrong, so.
It typed it in wrong.
Okay. Shamo and Cesaris.
Was this Nemo? Raw Women's Tag Team Titles.
Oh my god.
It took Tim a second. Raw Women's Championships on the line in a kendo stick on a pole match. Reasons. Alexa Bliss versus Bayley. Oh my god. Why are they putting a 5 foot tall woman having to climb up to get a weapon off a pole?
Because that ass.
Because that ass.
The crowd wins.
Tell me I'm wrong. I might be, but
there's some sick freak in the booking committee that wants to see a woman take a kendo stick to another woman.
Oh, I was about to go. Well, never mind. I was about to go the Tim route.
Porn. Yeah. Lesbian dominance porn.
Okay. Okay. We've gone.
You're the one who pointed it out.
Yes. And it ends there. You don't keep dragging it out and making it overt. It's called subtlety.
Yeah. But
it's called innuendo.
You know me better by now. I have to hit people over the head with it.
So, yeah. Speaking of kendo stick, this feels like, God, this feels so weak. Like, The second a pole is involved in a wrestling match, I'm already just like, eh? Like, I think that gimmick is just so, like, there's a stigma to that gimmick. Thank you, Vince Russo.
I was about to say thanks, Dominic.
Or the Viagra.
Yeah, there's something really wrong about having something on a pole match when it's two women involved.
Okay, so... I'm not gonna continue it.
Mm-mm, don't.
Omega, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
They've been telling, can Bayley get extreme? And that's the whole thing behind this matchup.
Oh.
And
a kendo stick is not extreme.
No, they should have just booked this as an extreme rules match.
Yeah.
But
that's what's bothering me about this. It's like, hey, let's put a women's match on the extreme rules card. Let's make it the softest hardcore match we can possibly imagine.
Right, but they want to talk about, you know, can Bayley be, you know, extreme with the kendo stick? This is where I advise people to go back and watch the Edge and Christian show that totally reeks of awesomeness on the WWE Network.
Exactly, because
I saw that one today.
Poor Tommy
Dreamer.
Oh my God, my tongue is bleeding.
He's been biting it so hard.
Oh, it's just that, it was just too much of a setup, the softest hardcore match on the planet.
So I tried to
That's right, no sell it.
Tried to divert the whole conversation back to wrestling, but Tim's dragging us down again.
Like I'm paid to do, if I was paid to do it.
Oh, dear God. Well, Megan, make a pick.
Unfortunately, I have to pick Bliss.
Mike, make a pick.
Bliss.
Tim, make a pick.
Bliss.
Thing picker says.
Bliss.
In the dumbest stipulation of the night, it's for the Intercontinental Championship. If Dean Ambrose gets disqualified, he loses the championship when he faces off against The Miz.
Fucking why? Fucking
because
why?
Because he kicked Miz in the balls 2 weeks ago.
Extreme rules, and you made a match where not only is there disqualifications at extreme rules, but there's a championship clause on top of it.
Which means Maryse can just walk into the ring, kick Miz in the balls, and he's the Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah. Oh, this should have been a cage match.
This should have been the cage match.
Could have been a ladder match.
It's a cage match Miz because it's Miz. No, it's Miz who is known to have his wife run interference during his matches. You know, it's the wrong call logically to have extreme rules come up and have Miz whine and bitch because if he kicked me in the balls, not cool. If he does that at extreme rules, he loses the championship automatically.
If you wanted to do a pole match, Maurice could have been handcuffed to a pole.
Stop. Just stop.
No. The booker doesn't want to be that obvious about it.
Let it out, Tim.
I'm behaving myself, and it hurts.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
It hurts. No.
Why not, Tim? But you don't want to talk about Maurice being handcuffed to a pole?
Cut it out!
This is the fucking dumbest thing you could do in an Extreme Rules pay-per-view. This is the dumbest stipulation you could put on it.
I got a funny feeling that they're going to introduce some kind of a twist right before the match starts.
Maurice probably banned from ringside.
I mean, the thing is, like, if Miz is so concerned about a DQ costing him the championship, then just you make it no DQ, right? It's extreme rules. That's what you do. Fucking hate this match. I don't know. It's it depends on whether or not they're doing this to be clever, the chicanery of, you know, can you, yeah, Maurice, just run in and just kick her, you know, kick her own husband in the balls and, hey, we're, you know, that's the match. He's the champion.
I mean, that's logical. And if they don't do it, it makes them look stupid.
It's WWE.
I know. I'm just saying.
Do we need to say the slogan again?
No.
All right.
No, no, please no. Generally, I'm going to go Ambrose just because generally when that stipulation's put on, it's to make the champion look like he's at disadvantage. I'm probably going to be wrong, but fuck it.
I'll take the points if you're wrong. Mike?
Somewhere, Paul Heyman is just shaking his head.
Somewhere, Paul Heyman's counting his money.
That too. Shaking his head, you poor bastards. Extreme.
And looking for Canadian Jews.
To educate.
Bingo. Fuck. Dumbasses. Dean Ambrose.
Tim.
Dumb Dean.
Dumb Dean.
Dumb Dean.
And then Thing Picker says.
The Miz.
I'll take it the point if that's right. Anyway. The main event. For the number one contendership for Brock Lesnar's Universal Championship, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Bray Wyatt, and Samoa Joe. Mike.
Samoa fucking Joe.
Omega.
Finn Balor.
Tim.
I see coming down to Finn Balor versus Samoa Joe.
It's Fatal 5-Way, it's not elimination.
Yeah.
I know that, but I just see it coming down to one of those two. The other ones I have to eliminate as winners. Now, if booking is done properly, it will be Samoa Joe.
That's a big if. I'm sorry. I put the asterisk beside it.
Asterisk duly noted. By all rights, it should be Samoa Joe. Is of all of these guys, really, the biggest, meanest M.O., F.O., in this Fatal 5-Way, is Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Joe is not going to be given that title for a year. However, he's the only one who has not sniffed the title on this list. And to tell you the truth, I want to see the match. I want to see Joe versus Brock. Joe's going to kill you versus Brock Smash. I really want to see that happen. Something tells me they're going to have Finn win it, but I'm picking Samoa Joe.
Okay, and the random thing picker says?
Samoa Joe.
So again, go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork and make your picks during the week once the full card is announced. Now it's time for the all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop the freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Stop us now!
Be smart to have it unmuted. Mike, go.
I fucking hate you.
You can't be surprised it's these two.
Jesus.
And it's all random. Remember, it's all random.
Yeah, I know, and it's only going to get worse. Because now we're on NXT. Son of a bitch.
Well, kind of.
Oh, okay.
It's the new era.
Oh, that's the... Oh, you asswipe. All right. fuck. My ears win, but Kevin Owens.
Omega.
Kevin's good for still being in that realm of generic. It's at least got an edge and an attitude to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the song of someone who doesn't give a fuck. He's just coming out there to kill somebody. Sammy's music is so fun to listen to. That's catchy as hell. I'm too big on his music. I have been since I heard it.
Means Tim breaks the tie.
Kevin Owens.
No, any reason?
Because Kevin Owens. Because he wrestled for me once.
Has nothing to do with how good his song sounds.
So Kevin Owens moves on.
Omega's over.
It's a shameful fate, lost your head. A careless man who could wind up dead. You'll wear your sin like it's some kind of prize. Too many lies, too many lies. All these words are true, and I'll make you believe. Yeah, you fight for
Omega.
God, see, I like Sheamus's song well enough.
Mm-hmm.
But it's against a song that's literally crafted for the guy using it. It's such, because it's a song, not only does it sound good on its own, but it's specifically designed to integrate to not only his demon persona that he honed in Japan for forever, but also the showmanship of Finn Balor.
Mm-hmm.
Those little interludes where the lights can flash and the crowd can react. It's perfect music for his persona. It suits what he's good at perfectly. As a vote for him, by the way.
I wasn't sure. I was me.
I'm not going to swing back.
I really like Sheamus, but anyway, Mike.
I'm voting for Finn Balor.
Tim, you're voting for...
I was just thinking, I really miss Sheamus' original theme song.
The Lobster Head.
What?
The Lobster Head.
And I was all prepared to...
Is that what he's saying in that song? I can never understand it.
It's not what he's saying, but it's what the internet says. Anyway, Tim, sorry.
I was all prepared to pick that until you fucking queued up Finn Balor.
So he's going Finn Balor next.
Yeah. Now, cute little side note about WWE themes. The Nashville Predators of the National Hockey League are about to play in their first ever Stanley Cup final best of seven against the Pittsburgh Penguins. That said, the entire playoff run for the Nashville Predators, the music that they play between gameplay has all been WWE entrance themes instead of your standard rock and roll or country and all this other stuff. Out of all of the WWE themes that have played, the one that gets the biggest pop and the one that the crowd at the hockey game can't really say sings along. I guess it's a chant along like the WWE crowd. Happens to be Finn Balor's entrance music.
I thought they do Glorious.
No, well, they play Glorious too.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm saying they're doing all WWE entrance music.
Because there was an article written up about Glorious. So.
Yeah, but the crowd, the one that's gotten the biggest response has been Finn Balor's.
There you go. Next.
Cause it's
Both of them, I still got to go for bathroom break. But, Sasha Banks.
Omega.
That is definitely a leftover theme from the Divas era for the Bella's twins. It's like, Sasha Banks' theme plays into her persona as the boss. Aside from just sounding better, it's describing the high life as the boss. Mm-hmm. You know, it plays to her. The Bella's song is about listening to guys try to pick them up. No, it's not a song a wrestler goes in with.
He said that's not how this works.
So, Bella's?
Really?
Tim.
The Bella's music fits them so perfectly. It's not so much talking about all these guys who try to pick them up. It's about them thinking that they're all that and a bag of potato chips. Did I get that right, Mike?
Yes.
All that in the bag, chips, bitch. And it's like, their shit don't stink. And, I'm Bella Twin. My shit don't stink, motherfucker. That said, sure, it's the best music for the Bellas, but it's Sasha every day.
Sierra Hotel.
India.
Echo.
Lima.
Delta.
Shield.
All right, Rock, is this round one or two?
We're still in round one.
Still round one. Okay, so it is your fault. Got it.
We were so nowhere close to round two. Anyway. Mike, go first.
Immolation Chamber 2014. Oh, wait, wrong.
Wrong one.
Fuck. Number one, I fucking hate you, Rock. Number two, I can't decide because both those fucking themes work for both teams. You have the Shield, the special ops forces coming down from every part of the fucking arena to make sure that they de-escalate the situation. Then you got the Dart guys coming after you. God damn it, I'm going with the Shield.
Omega?
It's got this, the Shield's theme has this sound of just sheer authority to it, which when they are done up as black ops coming in, you know, dressed in the all black flat jackets and all that, that works really, really well. It's soured by the fact that it's Roman Reigns' theme now, and it just seems dated.
No. That is not Roman Reigns' theme song. No. He made another version. Fuck that. There will only be one.
Like, there was part of me that thought that Rock was going to do the Shield's theme versus Roman Reigns.
I thought that too as well. There was two. I was like, you better fucking
literally pick the same. It's like
at this point in time, he should have.
It's like pick. No, I'm fully expecting Rodney Mack versus Teddy Long. it's got an air authority to it, but it again falls into that realm of, that's very generic sounding heavy metal kind of rock, electric guitar riffs going on. The Wyatt's music is unique. Mm-hmm. It sets a totally different tone and atmosphere.
Amen.
Like, it's different from anything else that's in the WWE right now. It's spooky. It's haunting. And that works so well.
Yes, Lord.
It's got to be the Wyatts.
I could have played this.
Shag, hump, insert, erect, lick, dick, shield.
It's the CB radio version.
I'm so happy I made him do that.
I know. Tim, make a pick.
God damn it, God damn it, God damn it. Damn it, God.
Brave. He didn't mean it, Jesus.
So
ignore Roman Reigns for a minute as Roman Reigns coming out to something bastardized.
You're asking me to do what I always do.
Well, there you go. Yeah, you know, when they first popped out on the scene, it was just the biggest fucking pop. And then Bray shows up with Catching Flies. And it was just the biggest fucking pop. And then it was the Shield versus the Wyatts. And it was just the biggest double pop because both of the songs played one after the other. Fuck.
I'm going to go watch that match after the show.
I got to pick Bray. Got to pick Wyatt.
And there you go. That's the all-time greatest. Now top to bottom.
It's time to rank the best.
Have you forgotten that I'm the best in the world at what I do? Huh?
And worst.
Shut your damn mouth! I'm the best wrestler alive today!
Wrestlers of the Week. It's top to bottom.
Mike, your top three wrestlers of the week.
Sheesh. Roderick Strong, AOP, and I would have to say Sami Zayn.
Okay, Omega.
Goldust for reverting, you know, ditching the comedic character he's been stuck with and kind of going OG creepy Goldust again. It's long overdue. Breezango for being far more entertaining than I ever would have given them credit for.
Mm-hmm.
And Shinsuke Nakamura, thank you for letting me see you on free TV.
I'm going to play the role of Tim. Samoa Joe for making Rollins pass out. Paul Heyman for putting Finn Balor over. And Breezango for beating the Usos not once, but twice in one night. Mike, your bottom three.
Bottom three. Jesus Christ. Wow, do I even have a bottom three? Yeah, I do. I'm sorry. Patrick Clark. Kurt Hawkins. And... wow. Carmella.
Omega.
Enzo Amore for continuing his streak of getting the ever-living shit beaten out of him before he gets his shit kicked back in. Sami Zayn for continuing his streak of getting the ever-living shit beaten out of him before he gets his shit kicked back in.
Mm-hmm.
And Baron Corbin for losing to someone who's continuing their streak of getting the shit kicked out of them before getting their shit beaten back in.
Going with the Velveteen Dream because it's the Velveteen Dream and it's an awful gimmick. The Usos for losing to Breezango twice in one night. And then to Breezango for losing to the Usos after beating them twice in one night. Because it would have been great if they lost three times, but they didn't. They sadly did not.
Why couldn't you have won the important match, boys?
Right? It's all about getting points away from the intern. Anyway, that's top to bottom. Tim returns with it next week because he'll actually be watching wrestling. Right, Tim?
Well, yeah.
He doesn't care about the finals.
Well, not as much as I cared about all the other series. Because the only good thing about the finals is Nashville, and I'm hoping Nashville beats Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh sucks. Right, Rock?
Pittsburgh sucks.
And you only say that because you're from Philly.
Pittsburgh sucks.
Silly Philly. All right. Hey, that's another edition of WTR Sunday Night Programming. Now, we're on like an hour and change later next week because there's a pay-per-view. It's called Extreme Rules with a really stupid match for the IC title. But besides that, That's just the way it happens. Tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, it's immediately following Raw.
Crosby's the baby. Oh, right, right. The Raw post-show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Talk all things that happen on Monday Night Raw. The go-home edition to Extreme Rules.
Tuesday night, another edition of WTR Sims. Hey, everybody who paid attention to last Tuesday's, how did you like that card? How was that? Was that good?
It was a good card, Tim.
That was the most successful WTR Sims ever. Because I booked it.
I wouldn't go that far.
Of course not, because you book all the other ones. Except for tomorrow, this week.
The Intern's Revenge is Tuesday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, twitch.tv/RackRadioShow, or right here, wildtalkradio.com. Click the link for WTR Sims. That's WTR Sims. You can find the archives available at youtube.com/RackRadioShow.
Yeah, Thursday night, another edition of the multi-time, multi-way award-winning The Rack Radio Show with your hostess, Lindsay Ward.
And we'll have the NXT Rundown, we'll have the SmackDown Throwdown, and we'll have Extreme Rules predictions and preview. It's back Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter.com, YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show. Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play is all the places you can find The Rack.
And then, of course, Saturday night's midnight-ish are as close as they can get to it. It's the wild, the wacky, the unusual, the glow-in-the-dark grass, CB Radio.
Okay. We'll have the great debate we're doing.
I think I had nothing for that.
I got nothing for that. The greater than great debate we're doing action movies. The Intern is putting together the 128 action movies. We're going to do that. You go back and listen to last night's episode where we did movie villains. It's all available at CBRadioLive.com. Hashtag Blame Rob when a celebrity dies. CBRadio Live on Facebook and the Twitter.
Oh, speaking about the Twitter, follow me on the Twitter at Flames Forums if you haven't done so yet. If you have, tweet me. What the hell? I tweet back. I answer you. Follow Wild Talk Radio on the Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. Check out WTR Sunday Night on the Twitter at WTR Sunday Night. Don't forget our Facebook pages because they're all back in full force. Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. And of course, Facebook.com/WTR Sunday Night. Right, Omega?
Mm-hmm. And if you want to follow everything I am doing, you can generally find it under one name, unless you're over on Facebook, in which case you can search for TJ Reviews to find all of my stuff. On the other hand, if you are on Twitter, you can find me at TJ Omega. If you want to check out my YouTube channel, where I am constantly posting new updates and content, it is TJ Omega. And the website for all the exclusive stuff that YouTube is not so much a fan of, not a fan of much these days,
nope.
It is TJOmega.org.
No, they're not. Mike.
And those of you who want to know, get to know me, you know, hit me up on the what is it, that Twitter page thingy? Yeah, hit me up, the WTR Oreo, and oh yeah, and also, I did a thing, and the thing is about to be a bigger thing, so those of you who want to look me up on Facebook, United, yes, facebook.com/udubs115. Yes, go in, look at the thing. We should be posting the bigger thing this week.
Is it UDubs, D-U-B-S, or UW?
UDubs, D-U-B-Z, 115.
All right, you got to learn branding. I'm just going to let you learn.
Look, okay, like I said, it's a thing, all right? It's going to be a bigger thing very soon. Chillax.
Branding is key. Tim, say goodnight.
Brand stuff, man. Coca-Cola, that's a brand. Never mind. Everybody, just go to bed, all right? We're done for the week. We'll talk to you next Sunday night. Just go to bed. Get off my line. Go on.
You could have said Wild Talk Radio Network is the brand, but he went with Coke.
Because I picked up a... Rock, go to bed.
Jesus Christ.
WrestlingTalkRadio.com.